This morning, I thought I would take you out of Russia and Israel and China and all of those areas and give you a break. I will come back to it because there are tremendous things to be said. My heart is so thrilled with what I study, and so thrilled with what I see around me, because it does not make me despair, you see. Instead of despairing, I say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus, you see. Because every single sign points to the Lord's coming. No man knows the day or the hour. But Jesus says, if you can discern the seasons, you ought to be able to discern the signs of the times, you see. And they're all around us, so I rejoice in that. But I did think that this morning I would like very much to hold a little to the day itself, to Father's Day, and to talk to you a little bit about some of the things that are on my heart. And if you would turn to Psalm 112 with me. Incidentally, I hope you read the tract that you have this morning. Glorious portion there. And Psalm 128, 1-4 is in that portion. Blessed is everyone that fears the Lord, that walks in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Notice, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Well, husbands, you got to be fruitful too. Can't expect a fruitful wife if you're not fruitful yourself. Sometimes it happens. It's great when it does. But she'll be a fruitful vine by the sides of thy house. In other words, her testimony will go out all around the house. It'll go to neighbors in the back and the front and the sides about her faith in Jesus Christ. She'll be fruitful in the sides, not just in the house, but all about her. We'll see the radiance of a Christian testimony. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that fears the Lord. Now, Psalm 112. That was Psalm 128. It's in the tract that you have there. I'm just going to read four verses here. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that fears the Lord and delights greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth, and the generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. I want you to notice that. I'll talk about it maybe, but it's not in the bank. It's a true estimate of riches, you see, in the house. It's not under the mattress. It's in the house itself. It's riches that only come from Jesus Christ, who for our sakes was made poor, you see, that we through him might become rich. What, in goods? No, in spiritual life and spiritual blessings. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. May the Lord bless that word to our hearts. You'll notice three psalms here. Psalm 111, 112, and 113 begin with the same words. Praise ye the Lord. And this praise is so important. I think so often we forget praising the Lord. And we only praise him in prosperity. If things are rolling along nicely, we are apt to praise the Lord. But the Lord has no great joy in such praise, because such praise is born of comfort and things going well and nice feelings and surroundings, a nice house and all of these things. That kind of praise can come from nearly anybody. The kind of praise that the Lord wants is praise from hearts in adversity, in trials and in burdens. And beloved, may I say this, if you don't have a burden this morning, there's something wrong in your life. If you don't have a burden for lost souls, I want to tell you, you are not living for Jesus Christ. If in these last days, as I preach and as I proclaim the good news that Jesus is coming soon, if that doesn't put a passion in your hearts for your loved ones first, for the children, Father, for your own children, if I can say so, for your loved ones, for those who work with you, all the dollars and the cents you make are going to fade away. Jesus said it's all going to pass away. There'll be nothing. Paul says you came into the world with nothing. You will leave with nothing. So it's only what's done for Christ that can last. And there has to be this praise in our hearts for the redemption that Jesus Christ has given us. That's the number one praise, for the blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin. Praise ye the Lord. When was the last time you said, praise the Lord for my salvation? Praise the Lord that I'm redeemed. Praise the Lord that my body is the temple of the living God. Praise the Lord for the purity he has put in my heart. Praise the Lord for the love that is shed abroad in my heart to my wife and to my children. This is the kind of praise that is to be coming from fathers' hearts. Praise that is deep and welling up within like a spring of water that cannot be held down, that is serious, deep, intense, so that a son or daughter really know their father and mother are so in love with Christ they can't hide it. It shines. It's like a beacon, so that when the children look at you, they're conscious that you're praising the Lord. When was the last time sons and daughters in your family, Dad, heard you say, praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. When was the last time something happened that was rather unfortunate in the family life and they heard you say, praise the Lord, sweetheart, to your wife? The Lord's still with us. Why, you could love a man like that, couldn't you? Wives, couldn't you love a man like that? Praise the Lord, he's still with me. Adversity has come, but you've been able to stand fast and say with Job of old, yea, though he slay me, yet would I trust him. That's the kind of faith, beloved. Praise ye the Lord. It's not just praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. You know, it's for you and for me. I always think of years ago, when I first went up to Word of Life and began to teach up there, for those many years I did that, and spent time, and Dr. Woodbridge and I would be on the same program, you know. We'd be up there the same weeks. And I always remember walking along, you know, and I'd be going along the road, walking up the hill. In those days, I walked up hills. And I want to tell you, when you're at Word of Life, you walk up hills. But anyway, I can remember walking along, and I'd meet Charlie Woodbridge. And as I go along, I would, you know, all of a sudden, out of a clear sky, his hand would go, praise the Lord. Do you remember that? How many of you remember? Charlie Woodbridge, praise the Lord. That would be the first thing he'd say, praise the Lord. And it was that wonderful joy in his heart that he just couldn't help but showing forth, that there was praise in his heart for what Christ had meant to him. And I think as Christians, we can become, if I can say to fathers this morning, we can become almost dead in our testimony, so that it would have to be said of us, as it says in Revelation, you have a name to live, but you're dead. You don't show any life. You show no excitement about your Christianity. If your children were to depend upon you to become believers, they'd never become believers, because you've never been excited about the salvation and the road to glory in heaven that God has given you through the blood
of Jesus Christ, that cleansing power, that redeeming power that has brought us unto himself. And this is what God's looking for. Listen, the world would have been transformed long ago. Cities would have been swept if the power of the apostles' doctrine and the apostles' testimony and the apostles' witness had been maintained. But it died and it fell by the wayside. And we can become so filled with churchianity and a Sunday form of worship, having a form of godliness, but denying what? The power thereof. That we merely become like everyone else in the world. We go to church on Sunday, and that is the absolute extent of our Christianity. Our day-by-day living has little prayer, little reading of the Word of God, and no desire to really fellowship with other Christians around that precious Word of God. Beloved, that's a killing thing in the family. Killing. If you don't think that the children don't notice these things, I want to tell you they do, and they tell me in the study. Pastor, you talk about us reading the Bible. I haven't seen my mother, my father, read and study the Bible as long as back as I remember, and they claim to be good Christians. Pastor, you preach from the pulpit, and how I thank God, you know, it thrills my heart to know that we have 27 out in the field and 13 now preparing for the Lord's work. But I've had some of those kids tell me, if it had been for my mother and father, I want to tell you something, I never would have gone, but I heard the word from your lips, and that's why I'm going out to the field to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. For my mother and my father never read the word of God, never had devotions, never did anything you spoke of from the pulpit, but lived their lives and was so concerned about the temporalities that they had no time for the spiritualities. Oh, that we would sense this. You know, I think back this morning, I said to Alice, I said, I have to go upstairs. There's a few things I want to find for myself. If I ask you to find it, you'll never be able to find it. You know how those things are? In a metal, in a strong box. I had upstairs and some things I just wanted to get my hands on because they were important to me. They're important to the things that I wanted to talk about this morning. And I was looking back at my own life. I had no father to guide me. He died when I was 12 years of age. My mother died a couple of years later. I came from a Catholic home. I can remember my father quite well. My Donald happens to look a lot like my father. Now, if he happens to look like me, then I must have looked like my father too. I don't know. But I see my father in Donald. He was the same height, same build. My father was an athlete. My father was a track man. I was a track man. Donald's coach of track. I see all the different things in Donald that I also saw in my father as I remember my father. But I can remember that my father was very religious. He never missed church. I can remember going to Mass with him. He was a man who was very, very strict, but lovingly so. I can remember him outside my door. And we were privileged in those days to live in a little house. Well, you know, in those days, if you had a house, you were just fortunate. And my father was fortunate. And we lived in a house, and each of the sons had a bedroom. And I can remember my father, every night, he would think I was asleep. And I can remember my father coming to the door of the bedroom. And as a Roman Catholic, and you know, I have to say this, I hope someday I'll meet him in glory. I don't know. Not all Roman Catholics are going to hell. Huh? Let's not get any silly ideas.
Some people take the whole Roman church and throw it into hell as though that's it. I hope someday I may meet him there, but I remember seeing him at the door and pretending that I was asleep. He would say, Martin? No answer. You know how you do that. You don't answer. And then at the door he would stand there, and I'll never forget it. Alice, I've told her. He would come in beside my bed and make the sign of the cross over it. And he'd say, Jesus, keep my son. And I can remember back in those days and just that little thing that a father left me. Jesus, keep my son. And as I said this morning, I was thinking of these things, and I remembered that here's a card was his. And on it says up here, the Gann Trucking Company. Now, if ever you see the Gann Trucking Company around, it's not Gann's anymore. Somebody else owns it. But it was the Gann Trucking Company, truckmen and riggers. My grandfather came from Ireland, you know, when he was young, and set up a trucking company over here. But on the back of the card, it struck me, he wrote this in 1917, and he just says this here, what God has for me will come to me, and he has nothing bad for my life. Nothing bad for my life. And I can remember in my heart, after he died, and after my mother died, and I was a young boy, but I can remember the impressions these things left upon me. I can remember taking walks all by myself. I don't know whether you young fellows do this anymore or whether girls do it. I can't put my finger on these things. But I can remember taking walks. You thought serious thoughts. I had no mother or father. I would walk in Prospect Park in Brooklyn. And I would walk through there at night. And my heart would be crying out to God. I wanted to know. I didn't know where to turn. I felt that the church did not have the answer for me. And I can remember back in those days, in 1928, I wrote in my diary. Now, that's 43 years ago. I won't tell you how old I was at that time. But 43 years ago, I wrote in my diary, O God, open my heart to thee, and I will live to serve thee. If thou dost teach me. Now this was a boy. And all of these things, beloved, faded away finally. And I got out into the world. But I can remember those things. They were so clear. And as I took out, you know, the little diary. Way back in those days. I couldn't help but think of how blessed and how wonderful it was just to know that there was a guidance, even though I did not come at that time. They that seek me shall truly find me. And although the years flew, and it wasn't until I was 37 years of age that someone told me of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And God privileged me at that time. With my children, I became a Christian father. And it was through the witness of two men in Belrose Baptist Church and a man, John Lotz, from Long Island, who is now a Baptist preacher. But they spoke to me about Jesus, and I became a Christian father. And my whole thought of life, my whole thought of my wife and my children and my concerns for their soul became paramount. They were the first thing. Everything else became secondary. God wants praise from our hearts. And then I'd have to say this if I can, Dad. I'd rather hear a wife come to me and say to me that you're praising the Lord at home than that you're praising the Lord at my prayer meeting. I love both, don't get me wrong. I love both. And I love men to be at my prayer meeting and to praise the Lord and to thank Him for all of His infinite and holy blessings to us. But, beloved, I'd rather hear from the lips of a wife and the lips of your children that in your home is where you praise God. For this is the mark of a man's life. The mark of a man's life is not the accumulation of the possessions which he leaves his children, but rather that there are riches in the house. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. And that the children shall be conscious of it day by day. Women praise the Lord if they have a proper husband also. A saved man of spiritual power in the home can't help but be praised by a wife. She rejoices. Is there anything that a wife would rather have than a spiritually powerful husband, one who really loves Christ with all his heart, his soul, and his mind, and shows it in every way in that life? He leads them strongly yet lovingly to the cross of Christ and to the church of Jesus Christ. And he longs and has compassion for their souls. What is your primary interest in your children, Dad? May I, and this is a simple question, is it that they get a good education? Is that the ultimate? I hope not. Oh, I hope they get a good education. That's fine. But what is your primary interest in each child you have? What is the feeling in your breast this morning as a father, honestly now, concerning your children, and have you really thought seriously about it? Have you really in your heart yearned that your sons and daughters might know Christ above everything else? And that is the primary aim of your whole being. For if it is not that aim, everything else will be tinsel. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. But if we go about it wrong, beloved, oh, what a tragedy can come into our house. There are riches and wealth in his house. No wonder he can praise the Lord. No wonder. Notice what it says. Blessed is the man that fears the Lord and delights greatly in his commandments. Did you ever expect to find fear and delight in the same sentence? He fears the Lord and he delights in his commandments. He has great delight in the law of the Lord. Jesus says, my commandments are not grievous. Not at all. Why does he say that? Because he made us in such a way that if we yearn to keep his commandments, then he gives joy to our hearts. Father, what does Jesus really mean to you this morning? Is he really your Savior? Do you really know him? Do you really live for him? Is your life shining for him? Is your wife conscious of this? Peter speaks of this over in the epistle, if you turn to 1 Peter 3:7. He speaks about the direction a husband must take in reference to his wife. 1 Peter 3:7. Let me read the whole portion to you because it's a marvelous portion. Now, may I say this first? I hope the Word of God treads very heavily upon women's liberation. Of the liberationists of the type I've seen. God has never denied liberty to women. I would remind you that until Jesus Christ came, women were just chattel. Jesus Christ was the great freer of women. But notice what it says here. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Now, in the economy of God, a father must be a husband, despite what all the world says today. But a father must be a husband. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. In other words, if your husband won't listen to you through the word, then your life has to shine in such a way that that husband will see Christ in you. The very life. Conversation means the life. By the life of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning? Let it not be with outward adorning of plaiting of the hair. This was the modern day and identified, as I've said before, certain women of that day as those who are in the prostitute and the other areas. Certain identification of clothing, of plaiting the hair, of the wearing of gold, or of the putting on of apparel. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, notice, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. What knowledge? God's knowledge. The knowledge which has been given to you by God. Giving honor unto the wife. Loving her like Christ loved his church, as Ephesians 5 tells us, and gave himself for it. As I say in my wedding ceremony so often, if this kind of a love comes from the heart of a husband for his wife, his children will see it. It will be a sacrificial life. It will be a life in which she will yearn to be in subjection to such a mate who loves her like Jesus loved his church and gave himself for it. And the church is the bride of Christ. And so this love is to go out from the heart of a husband. Oh, listen, father, husband, is this the kind of a love that's going forth from your heart to your wife right now? Is it a compassionate love? Is it a holy love? Is it a deep love? Is it an intense love? Is it an inspiring love? It is a love filled with strength and power. It is a man's love. And God says, quit yourselves like men with a man's love that is deep and intense. And women and men are not the same. Entirely different. Psychiatry agrees to this. Psychiatry is greatly opposed, even right now, to the present movement that's going on. Notice, giving honor unto the wife. Notice what it says, and this, the women liberations is going to have a hard job with, as unto the weaker vessel. That's God speaking. As unto what? The weaker vessel. And as being heirs together, notice, of the grace of life. Are you both saved this morning? Do you really know Jesus as your personal Savior? Isn't it a joy in your hearts to be saved? Isn't it? Aren't you joyous that you really know Christ? That you have the joy of being joint heirs together of his heavenly kingdom? That you can display to the children what it really means to be redeemed? And that your marriage is a picture of Christ and his church? Being heirs together of the grace of life. And that grace is God's unmerited favor. You've been born again. You've been translated into out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. And I want to tell you, if Christ dwells in your heart, it so shines from you that others will see it. And it would be like Moses coming down from the mount. They wist not, he wist not that his face shone because he had been with God. And oh, that's what it should be with us. Notice what it says. And as being heirs together of the grace of life. I don't like to see a husband growing taller than his wife spiritually, or the wife growing taller spiritually than the husband. Together in the grace of life. I remember when I was first saved, coming home and sitting down with Alice, and we get the Bible out. And every single night, we just couldn't get enough. After business, I'd go home and we'd just study and study and study and study. Why? We were joint heirs of the grace of life. The grace of life. And the kids can't help but see that. When you're joint heirs of the grace of life. They see it in their mother and father. They see the power of the Holy Spirit resting upon them. And it has nothing to do with me being a preacher. I wasn't a preacher then. I just was saved. But that grace of life, the power of the Spirit of God, had descended into my soul. And it bubbled up. So it shone forth that others might find Christ as personal Savior. That was the yearning of my soul. I didn't care where I went. I didn't care whether it was on the Long Island Railroad. Wherever I went and wherever I got the chance, I was bearing a testimony for Jesus Christ. And every time I got on the railroad, I'd have my Bible out right beside me. And the man in the seat beside me never failed to look over my shoulder into the Bible. And I knew it. I could tell it. He would put his newspaper down and I'd be reading the scriptures. And he would be looking over and suddenly I would just look at him. And I would say, I notice that you're reading my Bible. Let me tell you about it. Simple. Everybody does it. Listen, don't you see other people, if you have a newspaper on the train, they're reading your newspaper. And I want to tell you, they read your Bible more than they'll read your newspaper when you have it on a train. But notice what it says here, as being the heirs together of the grace of life. Now, why is he telling husbands that? Dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel. You're joint heirs of the grace of life, that your prayers are not hindered. He says, husbands, don't you realize this? Fathers, don't you realize this? If you're not living with your wife like God wants you to, your prayers will be hindered. God will not hear you. Why? Because God says here, husbands, live this way with your wife. Why, God, that your prayers will not be hindered. They will reach the throne of grace when you live as I want you to. Isn't that glorious? See it in the Word. Read it. Don't take my word for it. It says your prayers are hindered if you're not living right with your husband or wife. Don't pray. Forget the whole thing. Get straight with your wife. That's your first job. Get straight with your wife. Get straight with the family. Get straight with the children. Confess to them. Does it hurt to confess? Say, I haven't been what I should be. And I want to be honest with you. You've seen it anyway. You've looked through me plenty of times, and you've seen me for what I really am. But I want to tell you, son, I want to tell you, daughter, I want to be different. It isn't that I'm not saved. I've been saved, but I haven't been living as I should. Honey, you're my wife. Forgive me for the times I haven't lived up to what Christ has called me to live with in my relationship to you. I don't want our prayers to be hindered. We're grace. We're members together of the body of Christ. And we're heirs together of the grace of life, eternal life. And sweetheart, above everything else, will you pray with me? If we have to cry, let's cry. But let's pray for our son. Let's pray for our daughter. Let's burn our hearts out until Jesus comes, praying that God will do a mighty thing with our family life. Let me tell you, we're talking about eternal things. We're talking about holy things. We're talking about important things. We're not talking of the tinsel. We're not talking of the houses or the possessions. We're not talking about anything. We're talking about sons and daughters with immortal souls who need fathers and mothers with a passion for Christ and a yearning and a willingness to confess, I haven't been what I should be, but by the grace of the God who loved me and gave Christ for me and shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. I want to be that kind of a father and a mother. And how many of you have been praying on your knees together and asking God, God, do mighty things with my family. Oh, bless them.
God, don't hinder my prayers. Make me the husband, the father you want me to be. Forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. And what I say to you, beloved, I would have to say to myself, for no man is perfect. We have our weaknesses and our frailties, and we have failed our wives in many ways, and we have failed our children in many ways. But there's always a time for turning. There's always a time for a new day. There's always a time for the mind to take hold and be transformed and to show the power of the Spirit of God residing in us and letting the children see, my Father is really on fire for God. He loves me. He yearns for me. He prays for me. I saw my father shed some tears. I saw my mother shed a tear for me. And I never saw it my whole life until now. No wonder sons and daughters all over the world are going down the drain. I just see some young people shaking their head. Yes. Why? Because all they've seen is a phony Christianity that had no Holy Spirit power in it, that had nothing that would really draw them to the cross and let them see that life is more than raiment. Life is more than what we eat. Life is more than being successful. Life is more than dollars. Life is the stepstone to heaven or the stepstone to hell. And my father and my mother are the most responsible ones in my life. And after your parents have done that which is proper and right and holy before God and have been intensive Christians, then the responsibility falls upon you as a son or daughter. But beloved, if a father or mother have failed and have not been this kind of a father and mother, never blame the son or the daughter. Blame yourself and get on your knees before God and ask for forgiveness and say, now, Lord, it's not too late. Isn't it great? As long as you breathe, it's not too late. I'm always happy about that. As long as you breathe, it's not too late. You can always change things. Some people say, well, it's too late now. I didn't use intensive prayer and passionate prayer in my early years. I guess it's too late. No, it's not too late. I see a couple of grandmothers and grandfathers I'm looking at right now and some others who are praying like they never prayed before in their lives. And what are they praying for? For sons and daughters and for their grandchildren, that they might find Jesus as their personal Savior. Am I right? I see some tears. Yes. Why? Because it hasn't been right before. Now, oh, beloved, how I pray. How I pray. God, touch your heart, Father. What a day it would be if you went home today and you got at that table with your wife and the children, and I'm telling you, sons and daughters, the same thing, and you really prayed. Not God bless the food, amen. God deliver me from such. God bless my children, Lord. Let them know that my heart burns and loves them. Forgive me for my failings. Children, I love you with all my breast. Eternity. Eternity is coming. All I yearn is one thing, children, that you'll know Jesus and live for him. And if God were to take me home today, everything else is tinsel that I've done in life. Oh, I've clothed you, I bathed you, I took care of you, I raised you as a baby. But if I failed since, oh, Father, forgive me. And let my children know I confess it. Only pride stops you from saying that. I'll never forget one time with my son Donald, where we had he and I, a little disagreement. Happens, you know. Father and son, he's 6'2", I'm 5'10".
But we had a little disagreement. And all the day was a bad day. And during the day, I thought about it and I prayed about it. And I thought I was rather harsh. And I was very hasty in my judgment. And Father, I was speaking to my father. I said, Father, I think I've been wrong. Well, he didn't talk to me much that day. We walked past each other, sort of, you know, and that state of mind. But at night, we always prayed together. I prayed with my kids till I went to college. And we got on our knees by the bedside. Here's this big husky guy beside me. He could pick me up and toss me around. And I'll never forget, I said, I'll pray first, son. And I looked up to God, and I said, Father, will you forgive me? I've been so wrong today with my son, Donald, whom I love so much, and yearn for him that he might know Jesus. This big six-foot fella suddenly broke down in tears, threw his head on the bed and cried. And I looked over, you know, and I thought, what did I do? And I looked over at him, and he looked up at me. He said, Dad, I thank God that I have a dad who's willing to confess when things don't go right and doesn't think that he's always right. I love you, Dad. Alice has often said to me that from that day on, Donald and his family had a completely different relationship. Just a simple, little, tender thing. Fathers, don't be afraid to pray with your boy if he's taller than you. It's a great joy. You know, I love it when I get down to the airport and I meet my two boys. They're both 6 foot two. And when I get down to the airport and I walk over and they get off the airplane and they run over and they throw their arms around me and lift me up and kiss me. The whole world looks at us like we're cracked. But I want to tell you something. There's nothing more blessed in my life than that. The kiss of a son upon a father's cheek. Well, I yearn for that for all of you this morning. May God bless us together. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy blessed word. Bless it to our hearts. Lord, how precious. We should be praising the Lord. Riches in our house, not in the banks. Riches in our homes. We remember Philemon saying, oh, as Paul spoke and said, Philemon, I thank God for the church in your house. It was there. We remember the psalmist saying in Psalm 101, I will walk uprightly in my house. God bless the fathers here this morning. Touch their hearts. Touch their sons and daughters' hearts. Oh, Lord, give love in families. May the sons and the daughters feel that tremendous responsibility too, that when a father and mother have been all that they can before God, that there is the responsibility of a son or a daughter. Remember thy word in Proverbs 23 that says, hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy in him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad. O Father, touch hearts. May fathers really be what they should be. Are you yearning for that dad? I hope you are. Oh, please, God. Your wife really wants this. Your children really want this. Just as we close, not an invitation to be saved. I wouldn't confuse this. Just fathers who would like to say, may God help me to be the dad I should. Just put your hand up. Let me see. Yes. Pray. Oh, praise God. Yes. Hands all over. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Wonderful. Thrilling. May you be the kind of father God wants you to be. Oh, Father, we thank thee for this in Christ's precious name. Amen.